voice has gone a bit reedy.
It has, hasn't it?
I don't know what's happened.
Yes.
Any major changes in diet?
Is it still full sparrow?
Sparrow-based.
Is it still seeds and...
Oh, you see, I'm still doing my seed regime. Absolutely.
Seeds and fat balls.
My I was going to say anal regularity, but that doesn't quite feel like...
Come on, we gone straight there despite promising the listeners that we wouldn't go straight
there?
It's
a new series. New start. Fresh. Remember, we had a conversation. We said fresh start.
Different orifice.
That's at least the mantra. Get the orifices moving.
I'm sorry, everyone.
We're leaving that in fallow for this series.
We did that special therapy where we showed you pictures of fecal matter and then slapped you. Remember? It wasn't sophisticated, was it?
And it wasn't official in any way, was it? Or licensed?
It really wasn't licensed. It
wasn't based on any sort of evidence or research?
No.
It's gut instinct, so to speak.
I thought it was a trustworthy-looking medical troupe that had come to town.
But they were Italian clowns.
They were Italian clowns.
Just after some fast cash. You've got to diversify these days.
You've got to, especially as a modern clown. Because we were trying to disassociate you, weren't we?
But all you've done is created a heavy layer of shame around that particular daily natural process.
Yeah, which you now can't do without experiencing searing pain somewhere in your body.
Well, that's right. I need to have an Italian clown dressed as a doctor slap me or I can't go.
And actually, the only way to combat that awful sense of shame you now have is for us, we had to then do fecal glorification therapy, didn't we?
Luckily, the same troop of clowns were happy to do it.
Same troop of clowns. Well, we'd show you a picture of some fecal matter and then you'd get to slap a clown. Whereas we reversed it.
It's really restricted the number of airlines you can use for long haul, hasn't it? That's the problem. Very few that can...
It really has. It's only Qantas, weirdly, that that are okay with it, don't they?
And you don't have to pay extra for the troop. That's the amazing thing.
You don't.
They're a standard, yeah.
Also, as talking about this kind of syndrome that I have can create a sort of social contagion where people just hearing about this will now start to internalise either the shame or the glory of
that's right.
of passing feces and will themselves have to have a troop of clowns to help them.
That's right. So one of the positive, it's mainly been negative, but a positive offshoot of this is it has actually revived the Italian clown industry to levels it hasn't seen since the Renaissance, hasn't it?
Oh, those guys are making hay. Those guys are making hay.
Whichever way you plump it or lump it, every fecal need is sort of attended to now, isn't it, by an Italian clown troupe? Even if you're just quite neutral about it, there's no harm having an Italian clown troupe there. Do you know what I mean? Just in the sense of just hoping you won't have to use it, like a fire blanket or whatever, just have them there. And a lot of people now do.
They're actually what's contained in a lot of Deliveroo baskets.
Yes. That's right.
Yours, Henry, is Pavarotti's cousin, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, Navarotti. Yeah.
And Mike's got Davarotti, is that right?
I've got Davarotti, who's a bit cheaper. Not as good, but, you know, you've got to look after the pennies, haven't you?
But he's also, because he's related to both Pavarotti and Davros, isn't he? The head of the Daleks. So he's got a very, very rich cultural heritage, hasn't he?
Well, it does mean he needs to be charged once every couple of days.
And a very robust lower half.
Yes.
In either case.
Yeah.
Which is actually great for your diaphragm for singing, but so his singing voice can project, but it is that, Nasandama, isn't it? But you seem to be okay with that.
When Pavarotti dies and they tried to replace him in the three tenors with Davarotti, it didn't work.
It didn't work, did it?
It was worth a punt.
I saw something a bit grotesque the other day. I was walking along and there was a caterpillar suspended in the air off a sort of long, thin sort of slime string.
There's a lot of that going about at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the season for it.
Is it the season for it? But will it be the season for it when this podcast actually goes out?
No.
No.
Not at all. Far from it.
So that might create quite a lot of seasonal confusion amongst the listeners.
Yeah, because we're recording this in spring, but it'll be going out in the first week of summer.
It will. I will have been to France in the meantime. I wonder how it went, /will go/is going.
About the sort of standard baguette holiday?
Yeah, just standard baguette holiday. It's a holiday where you spend just hours and hours eating breakfasts that just never end. For some reason, you feel permitted to. So you're eating an entire baguette each, croissants, jam and stuff in the mornings. You're then eating nothing but steak dinners.
The steaks are getting rarer and rarer through the day. Yeah.
The frites are getting fattier and fattier.
Yeah.
You'd need a bloody Italian clown troop with access to an industrial drill to shift that by the end of the holiday. Well, you'd have to get one of them with a sort of pointy plague doctor style mask. Pecking away at your ear end. Oh, God.
Enali Spigotti.
That's the one. Yeah, he's very, very good at that.
Classic archetype.
Classic. But Ben, you will have been on holiday as well. How do you think your holiday will have gone?
Well, I don't know where I'm going. I know I've got a couple of weeks to play with, and I haven't decided where to go yet.
Interesting.
Because you've already seen all of the Eastern European nations.
Of course. Where should I go, guys? You should choose from where.
There's nothing. There must be something you can tick off. It's not a good time to go to Kaliningrad, is it?
No, that's true.
What's Kaliningrad?
A little Russian enclave off the Baltic.
Oh, yeah, don't go there. You've done a lot of Eastern Europe. I think it's time for me. It's time for Western Europe, I think, for you, Ben. It's time for you to conquer Western Europe.
Do you know what I'm thinking?
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Start in Vienna.
Mm. Yeah.
Of course.
Like any true Habsburg descendant would.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You've got to pick up some of your bullion, haven't you? If you're on holiday.
Yeah.
From the vault.
The family bullion.
And then south to Italy.
Rampage south?
Rampage through the Alps.
Are you going to rampage south? Or are you going to create a series of strategic alliances? How are you going to do it?
Well, two sides of the same coin, Henry.
They are, aren't they? It's true. You make the alliance and then you rampage. But it'll be a series of Ben making and breaking alliances. There'll be some looting. There'll be a lot of strategic engagements. Mm-hmm. Weren't there, to heiresses.
Marriages followed by summary executions.
That's right, yeah.
The Alps are going to be absolutely littered with bastards, aren't they? Newborn bastards.
Oh, God, there'll be so many bonjastards. There'll be people with bonjo eye when they're for generations.
The Fitz Bonjos of the Alps.
Is it true? Are the rumours true that our king is a bonjastard?
He does have the bonj eye, but I always thought that was because he was punched in the face as a child for being such a bonjastard. Oh, yes. he truly is one. Yeah, there'll be a lot of that. Presumably you'll be quite looting a lot of local archaeological treasures.
Yes, of course. For the Bonja Museum.
Oh, that's always good. Pop it in the bank for later. It's leverage for later, isn't it, really?
And also, you'll be performing incredible military feats that no one's ever done, like building a pontoon into the middle of a lake and conquering the lake itself. Won't you? That's like things that's changed military strategic thinking for generations.
And that pontoon will remain and then be made into one of the most beautiful kind of fairy tale style castles you've ever seen.
That'll
be visited for centuries.
Yeah. Except every single room has a false floor. So it's a complete death trap. It's actually luring you in like a beautiful orchid that sort of lures in a bee. and then
has a trap door.
Covers you in bonja pollen. You fall through a hole. You come out, emerge covered in bonja pollen.
And you're eaten by the bonja queen.
And then you're eaten by the bonja queen. Sounds like it's going to be quite good. So you're thinking Piedmont, you're thinking...
I'm thinking the Great Northern Houses of Italy.
The Great Northern Houses of Italy. So Northern Alps is what you're interested in.
Yeah.
Tyrol.
The Tyrol.
Lovely.
Quite complex local clothing and customs and stuff. Will you be dressing in the...
Oh, the garb is going to change from valley to valley, isn't it?
It will.
Yeah, you have to have the correct feather in your cap, otherwise
right.
It will be run through, basically.
It'll be a crossbow bolt through you on sight, wouldn't it? Yeah. There's always at least one item of clothing that's wooden in each of those valleys. It could be the shoes, could be the trousers,
teeth,
could be the gloves. Yeah. You don't know anything at all. Easy to get caught out if you're an interloper.
And, of course, you'll be doing this whole thing with a full retinue of 500 hunting dogs, won't you?
Who are armed to the teeth.
Armed to the teeth. It sounds like it's going to be superb.
And travelling on elephant back.
That's right. And that's just the back of the elephant, isn't it?
Yeah, which we've gaffer taped to the top of a Volvo estate.
And by the way, before people complain that it's cruel, the top of the actual Volvo estate has been attached to the original elephant, hasn't it? So it's actually just a like-for-like back swap.
Yeah, it's got a sunroof now.
Did want a sunroof and a roof rack, didn't it?
Yeah. So it can now transport things like skis and canoes and bicycles much more easily than it could before. Oh, it's going to be brilliant, that.
Yeah, so I'm thinking I might do sort of Vienna to maybe the bottom of Italy, do a sort of...
Yeah,
you know, to the boot. Try and traverse
all the way down the boot. Yeah,
because I want to go to Pompeii. That's my big thing I want to do.
Fantastic. I went. I think I've talked about it before on the pod. I went to Pompeii. It was blimmin' hot, I'll tell you that. Although not as hot as it was during the volcano, but it wasn't much in it, frankly.
That's great postcard stuff. That
it's really good postcard stuff. I think there must be millions of postcards that have been written from Pompeii with that. They all took, yeah, they all took some to have that joke written on them already, didn't we? And you just sign it at the bottom.
Have you ever been to Pompeii, Mike?
I have, yeah, as a kid. I went to Herculaneum not long ago.
Yeah, that's the one that the cool people go to, I think, isn't it?
Is that like the hipster Pompeii?
That's the hipster Pompeii. Yeah.
So why is it the Pompeii's more famous?
I don't know.
I think it might have something to do with a certain volcano that went off, mate.
Same volcano, you dickhead.
That'll be yours, you shithead. And it's happened. The truth is finally outed. I think Mike's a shithead. He thinks I'm a dickhead. We both think Ben's a wanker. He thinks I'm an arse and Mike's a tit. That's the actual relationship.
That's the secret sauce.
That's the secret sauce. Oh, is it the same volcano you're talking about? Okay, I forgot. I didn't know that. Oh, maybe it's because of the TV series Up Pompeii.
Maybe. Was Pompeii unearthed earlier or known about a more complete visitable site earlier? Or I don't know.
Something like that.
It's a bigger site, I think, so it could take more people and all that kind of biz. Herculaneum, you get an easier sense of a sort of complete town, like buildings that have been less destroyed and streets. You can sort of visualise it a bit more easily, whereas Pompeii's a bit more sort of mashed up. But I think Pompeii's got the... Like, we'll have the sort of petrified couples and the last embrace. Pompeii's got some real kind of proper must-see items.
One thing which will help, Ben, is if you're somebody who is prepared to be and up for being impressed by sort of, what are they called, frescoes? Are they called frescoes?
Yeah. Frescoes are, yeah.
Is a fresco on the ceiling?
Which is the one that they have in Roman homes that's made of lots of...
I think frescoes as being the sort of ones on the top of the sides of the wall.
Oh, not a fresco. Not a fresco. A frieze? No, what's it called?
Maybe that's a frieze.
A frieze?
Oh, no. Ignorance.
What are the ones that are made of lots of little tiles?
A mosaic floor?
Mosaic. Sorry, mate. Mosaic. Are you prepared to be impressed by mosaics?
I will, especially if, you know, it turns out they're mainly dick and balls, which I think is what happens, right? In those places.
And that's the other thing is, do you like phallus, like heavy, heavy sort of phallus caricatures, just phallus humour? Does it put a big smile on your face if you see like a sculpture of an old monk and he's got a giant phallus? Is that the kind of, you're laughing? I've never seen you look so happy. You're going to love it then. You're going to absolutely love it. There's quite a lot of that knocking about, isn't there? And a lot of mosaics. It's a lot of walking around going, God, blimey, this is amazing. It's almost as impressive as any modern flat, but not quite as, because it's not as good. Yeah, wow. But it was ages ago. Wow. Considering how long, like, obviously, if this was built now, you'd go, this is pathetic. But because it's built ages ago, yes. Yes, ages ago, yes. This is, yes.
Henry, you live in a modern flat.
Correct.
And you don't have an exquisite mosaic floor, do you?
No. And also, if I'm going to be fully honest with you, my toilet seat doesn't stay on. It literally doesn't stay on.
Let's turn on the beam machine.
Yes, please.
This week's topic, kicking off this series, was sent in by Katie from Hull.
Thank you, Katie.
Thanks, Katie.
And the topic is eggs.
Eggs, you say?
Eggs, eh?
Eggs.
That's a huge topic.
And that's a good topic for us, isn't it? Because, Henry, you've laid over 10,000 eggs already this morning.
I have, yeah. Yeah. It's part of a new diet plan where I swallow a live chicken once a month. The chicken lives within me, so I'm not eating the chicken.
You're incubating it.
I'm incubating it. I'm housing it in a way.
And then the chicken kind of goes into overdrive, doesn't it?
It starts panic laying. So I've internalized the chicken, and it's really interesting. New way of thinking about nutrition, which is think about it from the inside out rather than the other way around.
What breed of chicken are we talking?
It's a Dutch hen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a win-win because the chicken gets, as they say, a fully fox secured, admittedly quite dark.
Some grotto.
wet grotto. And I get 10,000 fresh eggs clogging up my bed every morning.
10,000 is a lot out of one chicken, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. But that's,
well, that's the Dutch hen breed, isn't it? That's why you don't see a lot of them.
If you put a Dutch hen in a wet grotto,
yeah,
you get 10,000 eggs.
The eggs are very sort of light and pale and sort of translucent, aren't they?
That's right.
With an oily finish.
That's right. And you can see the little chicken fetus in there, which does have my face. Some people don't like that.
And they must be killed. They must never germinate. They must never
germinate.
No.
Yeah.
Not the germinate is the right word, but you know what I mean.
Photosynthesize. Yeah, they must not be allowed to photosynthesize, germinate, promulgate, or reproduce through fission, fusion.
Because the idea of a near flightless Henry Packer prodigy being born.
Too powerful.
Yeah, it's too powerful. So the way what you do is which is what I do with most things I eat anyway, is you swamp them in hollandaise. And if you completely swamp them in hollandaise, the Henry fetuses can't survive under that much hollandaise. And also you don't have to look at them. So essentially...
Is that an ethical way to dispatch an animal, to drown it in hollandaise?
Drown it in hollandaise.
Well, they still haven't legislated against it. It's okay on the letter of the law, isn't it? But I mean, ethics, yeah. Oh, it's a little bit dodgy, isn't it?
Weirdly, it goes down as an avalanche death, doesn't it? So it's and you can't sue tectonics yet.
It's force majeure, isn't it?
It's force majeure. It's a tasty avalanche.
Ain't no rescue squad for those eggs.
Afraid not. So you know, yeah, you drown them in hollandaise, and then you sort of swallow it down. It's like a sort of crunchy eggs Benedict, isn't it?
And then, of course, you retire the Dutch hen, don't you, after about a month?
Well, it gets full witness protection, actually, isn't it? So it's surgically extracted. It's then given a it's given a choice of a false or a real moustache that equally effective with a Dutch hen.
It gets a job in retail.
It gets a job in the retail space, yes. That could be anything from running a Ryman's down to...
yeah, just a stockist at Claire's Accessories or anything in between.
Any of those roles. If you go to a Claire's Accessories or a JD Sports, anything, you ask for a gift card, what happens is they'll go in a little room in the back. If you crane your neck and look round...
As a moustachioed chicken. A
very tired-looking moustachioed chicken.
Looking moustachioed chicken who is pecking the machine that's producing those gift cards, and you can see from its body language that it's weighed down by the concerns of custody battle for, you know, upwards of 500,000 Henry faced Dutch chicken fetuses
that you've eaten,
that I've eaten in hollandaise sauce.
Constantly looking over its shoulder, if a chicken has shoulders. Well, it's constantly trying to work out whether or not it has shoulders in the first place to look over.
It's just got side neck, Mike. It's just looking over side neck.
Yeah, the chicken version of looking over your shoulder is looking past your breast.
Well, that's why owls can spin their heads so far around. It's because they don't know when to stop because they don't have a shoulder. They keep going. They try and look around the shoulder. They just keep going because they haven't got one.
Yeah, to stop an owl getting the kind of arthritis they do end up getting, you put on the false shoulders, don't you? Because then they know when to stop.
Okay.
That's right.
You give them epaulets.
Yeah.
That's right. That's why if you ever do go to an owl nightclub, first thing to say is the music is not good, is it? It's not.
It's just a series of screeches, some of which you can't even hear in your range of hearing.
Yeah, and you don't want to understand the lyrics because it's...
You don't.
It's nasty stuff.
It's basically just lots and lots of descriptions of different ways to disembowel a mouse, isn't it?
Yeah.
But with a techno beat. It's horrible. It's horrific.
I find eggs a bit gross. Like, not the actual chicken eggs that we eat. Those are fine. But yeah. When you sort of think about nature and animals, like, laying a billion eggs in a kind of gloopy, weird ectoplasm.
Are you crab-shaming?
I'm crab-shaming.
there's nothing wrong. It's a totally legitimate way to reproduce from the crab's point of view. The female crab spews out over 60 billion larvae.
75% of which are consumed immediately by sea cucumbers.
By sea cucumbers. The male crab rides in on a sea cucumber, mm-hmm. using that as his cover.
Yeah.
He gets into the area. He pokes himself in the eye to make himself vomit. In the confusion, the beauty of life is gone.
Yeah. There's a fight to the death with another male crab. The loser's carapace is ripped open and spews forth the crab spores.
It kind of feels like in nature, like eggs are 80% there for other animals to eat.
Right.
And then there's like a lucky 20% which might make it to childhood.
Well, it's a numbers game, isn't it? It's like, isn't it? Yeah, with your baby turtles and stuff, isn't it? It's a numbers game.
It's such a cruel way of doing it.
You've just got to get the stats on your hat. It's like politics. Learn to count and you can be a successful sea cucumber / arachnid / politician.
Here it comes. No. You made yourself tired before you managed to get to the satire.
I made myself tired. You know, do you remember frog spawn? Are they eggs?
They're spawn, aren't they?
Are they spawn, aren't they?
Oh, hang on. Are they eggs or spawn?
Would they count as eggs?
What's a spawn then?
I don't know. Were you wondering, would you technically classify them as an egg? I don't know that you would. There's bound to be a listener who knows the answer to this.
Shall I do one of my little explainers just to get people up to speed?
Okay.
On what eggs are. So they are an ovoid or egg-shaped...
Egg?
Egg. Egg. Aren't they? I mean, they're an egg-shaped egg. Yeah. They are a form of external child rearing, essentially. When it's they're a reproductive sort of accessory favoured by non-mammals, so arthropods, megapods, mini-pods.
Birdropods.
Birdropods.
Frogropods.
Lizardropods, yeah.
Different pods, whereby the young is externally sort of developed, isn't it?
So you don't have to worry about whether or not you're still going to fit into your chinos.
Exactly.
While you're gestating, yeah.
That's why, have you ever seen a chicken wearing tight chinos? No. You completely removes that problem, doesn't it? So you can essentially lay your offspring and get on with your life. So pretty much all animals have developed this, except mammals. So what are the different animal types? Decapods?
Pandas?
So it's decapods, dodecahedropods.
Are they the ones with the 12 spines, are they?
They're the 12 spined ones.
Yeah.
Horses and horse-like animals.
They're the hoofed.
Hoofropods.
There's hoofropods.
Yeah.
Those are divided into noble and ignoble.
Yeah.
Basically, they're all ignoble except for horses.
Animals that are fish or should be fish.
Yeah. So that includes fish.
Yeah.
Catfish. Sharks.
Mm-hmm. Whales.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, it does include whales, doesn't it? Yeah. We believe that as a podcast. Mm-hmm. That whales are fish and tomatoes are veg. If it looks like a duck and squeaks like a duck, then it could be a toy duck. It's probably a toy duck.
If it looks like a duck and squeaks like a mouse, what have you got?
You've got an owl's worst nightmare. It's a mouse that can fly.
So that's the other category, isn't it? Aberrations.
Yeah.
Yes, so we've got aberrations. So they include, your horse crabs, your French donkeys. Have you seen a French donkey?
Your spiny cats.
Your spiny cats. Your frog-faced lizard poodle. And members of the current Conservative government cabinet. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please pray silence for a moment of satire.
Jonathan Swift. Holding institutions to account.
Mark Twain.
Speaking truth to power.
Chaucer.
A core part of any healthy democracy.
Chumbawamba.
Can our jokes actually change government policy? Of course they can.
Quiet, please respect this important mode of humour.
So, Nibby, and you've got vertebrates, you've got invertebrates.
You've got your razor-footed, your talons, your claws.
Yes, you've got your razor-footed clam, your razor-footed monkey, your razor-footed tentacle.
Yeah. Anything that walks on something that could rip you a new one, that's a category.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Like a cassowary.
Cassowary. Cassowary is just as much as a snow leopard. Same category.
And also you've got things without a backbone, or as I call them, members of the current Conservative. Yeah?
Yeah.
And then you've got your clinging animals. So that's your barnacles.
Your koalas.
Your koalas.
Some poorly socialised dogs.
Yeah.
And toddlers. Human toddlers.
You've got your ones that look like they're flying, but it's actually just a really long jump.
Okay, yeah.
So that's your owl squirrels, your turkey lizards.
Your throne chihuahuas.
Your throne chihuahas.
And horses in adverts.
Well, and also there's animals that can fly. Yeah. Animals that
and
won't fly.
To. Partridge.
Exactly. Because they're blimmin' stubborn. Stubborn. Yeah. Well, they got stubborn and stubborn.
It's the stubbards.
Animals.
The stubbards.
Those are the stubbards. And you've also got animals that make you feel like you can fly.
Okay.
Yeah.
My beautiful horse.
Yeah.
My beautiful, beautiful horse. We can both fly. Fly off this cliff together and conquer the skies.
So that's basically anything that's got kind of equine, bovine/marmoset eyes. Basically deep black.
Those big
deep,
eyes.
Large, deep black, sort of Henry Packer coloured eyes. That
that's
kind of
right.
Thing. Yeah.
So eyes that look like you're looking at a kind of volcanic stone that will make the sharpest blade in the Nine Kingdoms. But it is protected by a hideous army of Henry Packer-faced chicken beasts. Their squawking alone can make a grown man vomit.
But you must drown them in hollandaise.
Bring forth the hollandaise cannon.
Oh, shit.
Bit fatty, isn't it? Yes, it's quite a rich, fatty mission, I'm afraid.
Drop the capers.
Here comes the Air Force, bringing forth a little bit of dill to put on top. Drop it now, drop a little bit of dill. What do you think of the fact that eggs, as a food product, are very much sort of like measured in imperial, aren't they? It's dozen, half dozen.
Yeah.
You can't buy 10 eggs. Well, that's what they'd want us to do in Europe. But you can't, can you? You can't buy 10 eggs. Discuss.
It's a good point. Can you buy 10 eggs abroad?
What do they do? How do they sell their eggs in America?
America.
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 I'd like two tickets for the Chattanooga Choo Choo.
America. America.
Get me the DA.
A slice of old mama's apple pie down the Alamo in New York City.
Oh, just give up now. You'll never be an actor, Mr. Clemens.
Burgers. I reckon in America, you buy a 250-pound pre-scrambled egg cube, please. It's just a big wobbly square. I want.
Yes, it's supposed to be pink.
How big do you want your pink egg cube today, Mom?
Sunny side down.
Sunny side in.
In America, they do have all those ways of cooking eggs, right? Whereas in Britain, nobody asks you how you want your egg.
That's true. Over easy, under easy, easy peasy. Yeah, that's true. By the way, have you Here's, we may have discussed this before, haven't we?
Oh, do you know? Did you realise that a couple of episodes ago, I think for the first time, we'd literally did a conversation we'd already done before. We reached that event horizon.
Yeah, I feel like didn't we?
It was talking about Henry's magic colleagues in Hamley.
That's right. I knew at the time, though, that we had discussed that. But you'd... What, the French drop?
Yes.
But we thought we hadn't done the French drop element of it, but we had
Turns out we had.
Did we get complaints?
A couple of people pointed out.
Yeah.
Someone was really annoyed in that way. People on the internet get annoyed when they've got no right to be. Yeah, so we've reached that point. I think all podcasts must reach that point.
Yeah.
So downward slide from here on in?
It feels like it, doesn't it? Potentially quite a steep one.
It's a sharp cutoff when it comes. It's vertiginous, mate. We'll literally be screaming for the last part. For an hour. Then, now time for emails. Then there'll be the email jingle. And then
especially if the listeners start sending in the same emails as well.
Which will just be screams. In email form.
And then the next episode will be us going, and then people emailing going, hang on, you did a whole episode of screaming last week.
No.
And now we're from our sponsors. .com. Conquering the egg as a cook is a sort of lifelong journey, I find. I just find I get slightly better every time. But I... I'll tell you how I... So what I do is...
Telling us how to fry an egg.
Well, no, but that's the thing, Ben. And people say that as if it's really easy, but there's different ways of doing it.
Okay.
So I use a mixture of butter and olive oil, or butter and oil, and I have to be able to smell the Euphrates. And basically you've got two choices with a fried egg, which is you go very, very hot, which you get crispy around the edge, or you go very slow, so not too hot at all, and you cook it very slowly. And then you get a fried egg, which sometimes people describe as being a bit like sort of clean bed sheets, which I think is a bit weird. It's like kind of soft sheets, kind of like getting into bed kind of egg.
Doesn't sound that clean, does it?
It doesn't sound clean.
Oh, these bed sheets are like a slow cooked fried egg. No one's ever said that.
Everyone loves that fresh, clean, fried eggy bed feeling, don't they? Do either of you fry eggs, and do you have a technique?
It's about speed for me. I think.
Of course.
For me, I crank the heat up.
And that's in the house, isn't it? You're talking about in the house.
Central heating's on.
Ambient cooking.
Yeah. Swimming trunks on. Get the heat up. Yeah, you're cooking eggs, baby. Let's enjoy
bikini
this.
Bikini weather.
It's bikini weather. Yeah, the eggs are frying. It's summertime, baby, isn't it?
If I can't feel the hot fat ricocheting onto my bare stomach, then I'm not doing it properly.
And it ain't egg season, baby.
I, controversially, don't really like a yolk that's too runny. So I don't mind it if the yolk has gone slightly kind of jammy, you know what I mean? Like slightly cooked.
Oh, jammy. I like that. That's nice.
Yeah. So I'll sometimes turn over an egg. What's that called in America?
That's over easy, isn't it?
Over easy, yeah.
Mike, do you fry an egg?
I very rarely fry an egg. If I egg it up, which isn't very often, I'll often omelette myself.
An omelette, yeah.
Yeah. That's,
yeah.
If I'm going to bother anyway.
That's another one where, I think we probably have discussed this before, but that's another one where it's, you know, we literally have discussed this before, so shall I not?
Oh, or no. Just go for it
anyway. It's starting, we're off the cliff. The horse can't fly. I'm plummeting down a cliff. What?
Was it premium level stuff about omelettes?
Well, no, it was just about how the omelette is seen as a simple thing, as a basic, but actually chef. You know, if you have a chef off, if you and a great chef were to have a chef,
stop talking.
It would be omelette. No, God,
stop.
So you omelette it. Do you put stuff in your omelette, Mike?
Yeah, big time. Whatever's going.
Keys, post-its, just whatever's lying around the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Vibes, whatever. You're normally just whatever sort of rotting and nearly dead in the fridge, really, will get chopped up a bit and chucked in.
So this, I don't mean to be offensive to Mike. Mm. Mike gives off a slightly old-fashioned and wholesome edge, I would say. Yeah, do you understand what I mean by that, Henry?
Yeah, it's a very, very carefully constructed veneer. Yeah,
there you go.
A wholesome and old-fashioned vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does, yeah. He's like...
Genghis Khan.
Or, I suppose, like a Spitfire or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, but pelted by a Nazi. Yeah.
That's the truth, isn't it?
As it turns out,
it's been recommandeered by the Luftwaffe.
I think what I was going to say was I thought Mike was going to say that he's into the boiled egg, which fits for me with Mike. Do you know what I mean by that? Am I
what with the very sort of precise timing, sort of Poirot level precision timing?
Yeah,
just a certain. I'll send it back if it's not the right level of runniness. That kind of thing. Half inch wide soldiers for dipping.
Exactly.
Yeah, salted butter.
It's angles, protractors. Check the watch. Tick, tock, tick, tock. In goes the egg. Check the watch. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Slice the soldier. Tick, tock. All in a row. Nice and controlled. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Serried ranks. Serried ranks. Charge, 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 charge. Dippity, 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 clock, dippity, clock. Dippity, 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 dock.
Yeah, and that's the first hour of every day in this household. Everyone knows to remain completely silent during that time.
And for you, Mike, all of the toast soldiers have a rank, don't they? They're not just soldiers.
Oh, yeah. There's NCOs, there's sort of staff rank. I mean, there's the whole kit and caboodle.
There's your officer class soldiers, they're nowhere near the egg. They're in the next room.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
They're being prepared for a Hollandaise bath, isn't it? They're not going to get anywhere near. They're not going to get near the rough end.
It's all done by drone these days, isn't it?
Yeah, and of course the real egg dipping is actually up here, isn't it? It's actually the propaganda. It's like, what are people saying about eggs? Can you control the egg narrative? Well, I like a boiled egg with soldiers.
Do you?
Yeah. I haven't done it for a while, but I have big phases of doing it. Basically, in all egg preparation, the enemy, actually much like in life itself, the enemy is slime. And that's so true of so many things, isn't it? Mike, if you're on a day out with the family.
Yeah. That's what I always say, the enemy is slime. Yeah. Yeah. What do we always say, girl? The enemy is slime. Yeah.
No, but if you were with your family and you were noticing slime,
yeah,
it's not going well, right? That's not a successful day out.
Well, it depends. I mean, maybe you're going to sort of SlimeCon 2025 or something.
If you're going to SlimeCon, or you're going to see the great frog spawnings,
yeah,
whatever,
yeah,
happen live,
yeah,
then maybe not.
But yes, you're right. An unexpected slime, a sentient slime.
Sentient slime is always bad.
Yeah.
If Pam has eaten some slime, that's probably quite bad.
Yeah, that's generally speaking a wrap on the day. Yeah, it's plan B. It's back home, pizza and death in paradise. Everyone to bed.
Mike, if one day one of your daughters was to say to you, you know, I'm getting married to meet my husband-to-be, it's a form of sentient slime.
Yeah.
But he's not what you think. I knew you'd judge him. Is he a green, healthy slime? Is he a fungal slime? Is he a cave slime?
Has he got prospects? What's his family situation?
Has he got a degree?
Has he served?
At a harvester?
Well, of course, it was described as gravy, but it was effectively slime, wasn't it? in that role.
So with an egg, because sometimes if you undercook an egg and there's a bit left that hasn't really cooked,
it can really ruin your breakfast.
Well, there's no turning back as well, is there? A boiled egg, you know.
Well, you try.
There's that surprise, you know.
Like alchemists who, for centuries, tried to find the key to eternal youth.
Turn an egg into gold.
Can we turn an egg back into gold? Can you extract the chicken from the egg? If we could turn eggs...
That's why we've got so many methods of cooking an egg, because there's so many different things we've tried with eggs to turn it into gold.
Because, Mike, think about it. If you could turn a... No, if you... Okay, feathered gold. I'm talking about...
Unlimited chickens.
Unlimited chickens. The feathered gold. If we could conquer that... If we could turn eggs back into chickens, do you think about how chickens we would have? Because it would be...
Just with a bit of butter and some olive oil.
If we could do this, because every chicken produces over 10,000 eggs in a lifetime, right? So if we could turn those 10,000 eggs, each of those into a chicken, do the maths.
You do the maths.
No, I don't want to do the maths. I'm an alchemist.
That's why people say do the maths, because they don't want to do the maths.
No one wants to do the maths. Otherwise, the phrase would be, I've just done the math.
Time to read your emails.
Yes, please.
When you send an email, you must give thanks. to the postmasters that came before.
Good morning, postmaster. Anything for me?
Just some old shit.
When you send an email, this represents progress. Like a robot shoeing a horse.
Give me your horse.
My beautiful horse.
This from James.
Mm-hmm. Hello, James.
Hi, James.
Hello, Beans. Following your recent chat about the interpretation of what happens to the horse in the email jingle, I thought you'd like to know the following thoughts.
Okay.
The debating question prompted Henry to say, "This is like a conversation at a university campus." Well, it may surprise you to know that this discussion has already happened between myself and a group of other postgraduate beanheads on the humanities site of the University of Cambridge.
Good heavens.
Whoa, wow. Big hitters.
Big hitters indeed.
Big hitters.
After much deliberation, we came to the conclusion that without any contextual information, it does indeed sound like horse murder.
Oh dear.
Yours, James. And then he writes a PS.
Mm.
A PS bollocking.
Blimey.
Blimey. That's quite a power move, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a sort of, oh yeah, and just quietly, here, I've stabbed you in the ribs.
And it's for Mike.
While we were looking the other way, he stabbed Mike. Mike down, Mike down.
Mike's lying dead. It's too late.
No, we actually had a lot of bollockings about this, Mike.
Oh, no.
A lot.
Okay.
Which I think sort of shows the maybe pedantic nature of our listenership more than anything else.
Okay.
Henry starts talking about swimwear Macbeth. You might remember that.
Yeah.
Mike quotes the line, "My kingdom for a budgie smuggler."
Yeah.
Which is actually from Richard III.
And then what happens is Henry went on to make another allusion.
And Mike has a go at me about...
Because you quoted Julius Caesar.
Yeah.
And Mike said, "That's the wrong play, Henry." But only moments before... Mike quoted Richard III.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And to quote another Shakespeare play, "I am Marcus Aurelius Henrius, brother of a murdered sister, uncle of a murdered niece, sister-in-law of a brother-in-law that I didn't get on with that well. But, you know, we only see each other twice a year, so, yeah. Putter of my hands threw some wheat earlier, and I will have my vengeance on you in this pod or the next."
Oh, no. How embarrassing.
Yeah, Mike.
Well, I'll accept that wholesale.
Bollocking accepted.
I genuinely thought that was Macbeth.
Did you genuinely think that was Macbeth?
What a numbskull.
You're absolute div. No, to be fair, you had us full. I was with you. It's only just now that the scales fell from my eyes.
Well, thank good for that. Was he a post-grad, did he say?
He's doing an MPhil, I think. In Cambridge.
Okay, so that's what the MPhil gang thinks.
Yeah.
We need to know what the post-doc gang thinks.
You want to go higher?
Situation. No, I'm interested. This all got value. But yeah, this bollocking accepted, absolute 100% wholesale. And I apologise to our many Shakespearean scholar listeners. But yeah, I'm interested to know that there's consensus among this group on the horse murder.
We had loads of emails about people analysing the horse jingle.
And is there a consensus among those, or is there a variation?
Susan says,
"Yeah,
I've always interpreted the horse story thus. The robot, though enthusiastic, is still such a modern step that it lacks finesse. The nailing sounds extremely industrial, like some kind of pneumatic shoeing hammer. Horses are, as we all know, extremely flighty creatures, and the creature is so startled by the loud, sudden noise and forceful shoeing technique that it scarpers, possibly kicking over the robot or leaping through a window as it goes, creating some of the auditory chaos that we hear at the end of the jingle. The owner's lament of my beautiful horse is a cry of despondency as the horse flees the scene, but it's nevertheless tinged with awe at the sight of such beautiful horseshoes, which he can only admire from this unwanted vantage, watching his horse run away. To ride the horse is to miss the sight of the robot's horseshoes. It's a bittersweet parable of both the forward march of technology and those left behind in its wake."
That's very good.
It's true that it is one of the great paradoxes that you can't admire horseman shoe work from the position of riding a horse. It's one of the great ironies, isn't it? Unless you have...
a mirrored paddock.
Unless you have a fully mirrored paddock. And if you want one of those, you need to be friends with a member of the band Queen, because they've all got one, haven't they? It's the kind of thing. Oh, anyone in Pink Floyd, they've all got mirrored paddocks, haven't they? That's the kind of world. Those are the kind of circles you need to be in.
Email from Alex, who came to our recent live show in Manchester. I was delighted to come and see your live show in Manchester last week. It was also lovely to meet all the beans in the bar afterwards and have some pictures together. Don't remember that. Was I drugged?
You were drugged, but you were pliant and you were snapped. You were documented. That little mantra of yours, I ain't getting in no damn selfie. You remember? So he had to give you your special milk. Everything is fine.
They write, all of the photos, for some reason, look like I'm attempting to take Mike hostage.
Okay.
I did, however, have a chilling thought when I got home. Were we watching the real Benjamin Partridge?
Ooh.
Ben seemed particularly riled up during the performance. Yeah. I saw a side to Ben I'd never seen before.
Really?
I especially enjoyed comments, including, but not limited to, telling an audience member who thought his comedy was better than Steve Martin's to go and fuck himself. Telling several audience members who had attended both shows to fuck off.
Yeah. It's ugly. It is ugly.
Telling an audience member that he'd... Telling an audience member that he'd made himself look like a right prick. Is this usual for your live shows? Does Ben normally mercilessly insult the audience? Or is this the work of Benjamin? I'll wait your comments, Alex from Salford.
Gosh, yeah, it's true. Looking back, Ben is quite...
He's got that note. It's not typical of a live show, I would say. But it's...
I was a bit nasty, wasn't I?
I think maybe it is the real Ben that comes out.
There was one... We did two shows in Manchester. I would say that particular Bonjo beast was only unleashed on one of them.
Yeah.
The second one. Yeah. It was the late show.
It was the late show.
It was the only time we've ever done a late show. It was the first ever being late show. Late show.
No holds barred. Late Benjamin. Yeah.
And I had maybe a third of a pint of lager as well, you have to remember.
Yeah, it was a completely no-rules, like, berserker environment, Alex.
It was quite gladiatorial, wasn't it? The whole thing was quite... Metaphorically, Ben had ripped his shirt off and was metaphorically slapping his chest a lot.
Yeah.
Wasn't
he? I do apologise to anyone who came under fire.
Yes, apologies.
You've got nothing to apologise for, Henry. Don't apologise for me.
No, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but we can't guarantee that if we do another live show, we can't guarantee that isn't going to happen again, you know.
So. Imagine if we did a midnight show.
Good Lord.
In Vegas.
He might have had half a pint by then.
You almost became a bit like a WWF character, didn't you? Where you were deliberately goading the crowd.
What are the baddies called? The heels? Is that what the baddies are called? WWF heel. Kind of guy who turns up with a sort of trestle table wrapped in barbed wire.
And I had done that as well, didn't I, Mike? That should have been a clue to the audience that I was not messing around.
Yeah.
We've had this email from Sam.
Hello, Sam.
Sporting my new, svelte and incredibly sexy three-bean salad t-shirt, I strutted confidently into my local bakery. I was planning on having a cheeky mince and cheese pie.
Sounds horrendous, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I grabbed the pie, popped it in a bag and nipped to the counter to pay. The girl behind the counter said it would be $5, but that there would be no Pompidou discount.
Wow, I love that the currency was an unexpected twist there as well.
Yeah, there can't be bean recognition on that level in America, surely.
Well, is it America? We don't know.
Could be Panama.
Yeah,
could be. Panama. I can buy that because of Mike's control of international shipping. Mike's control of international shipping lanes. We'll be known there.
So they write, I'm left double shocked that A, the teens of New Zealand listen to the podcast.
Ah,
very good.
Nice. Yeah.
And B, that those same teens will not invoke a Pompidou discount for a fellow journeyman. I paid and left, but I've been left feeling off kilter. I may, for the first time since I was a teenager, listen to the same lukewarm banter as the youth. And that very same youth doesn't respect the discount. I'm shocked, Sam.
I've got a lot of time for that youth, Sam, because I don't think that youth owns the bakery. And that youth is obeying the letter of the law. You can only give a Pompidou discount if either... It's your right to give the Pompidou discount, or you're trying to inflict some sort of vengeance upon your employer.
We have had that in the past, haven't we, where someone was clearly trying to undermine their business.
The Jorvik Viking Centre, or it was somewhere, I think it was in Yorkshire somewhere, some sort of...
Oh, the Jorvik Viking Centre, yeah.
Yeah. So it may be that this employee respects the master baker.
I think in the case of Jorvik, they did respect Jorvik.
Right.
They just wanted to give the discount. We had another one, which was a photographer's assistant who felt that everyone they photographed were like twats. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
And they just had no care for the business whatsoever.
I just want to reassure Sam not to be too discombobulated. And bear in mind, you know, that this teenage baker's assistant might have been equally flabbergasted, you see. They might have been off kilter.
That's true.
They might have done things differently had they been able to take a breath.
But no, but you can't, realistically, you can't be going around offering discounts unless you're in a management or ownership role, really. Can you? It's not within your purview. Now, this is the kind of chat the kids love, isn't it?
You're buying a premium item, right?
The mince and cheese pie?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
You know, they're going to be following those things. You can't be, I mean, yeah, that's where their profit is. You know, when they're doing the books, they're watching that stuff like a hawk.
Yep. Yeah. Strong points. The mince pie, maybe. The cheese pie, maybe. Mince and cheese.
Yeah. It's not just a flapjack. Yeah. No. Come on.
Forget it. But, you know, the other thing is, I think if it's a big enough company, I think it's okay to steal from them ethically.
B&Q. We're talking about B&Q.
We're talking about B&Q.
B&Q, BAE Systems. Yeah.
Or BAE Systems. If a Chinook goes missing...
They don't notice.
They don't notice.
It's not like someone's selling a mince and cheese pie for 15% less than it should be.
Exactly. Well, from the sounds of it, I don't know which one would actually be more lethal. No? Probably the Chinook. Probably the Chinook, isn't it?
Yeah, I quite like that.
Yeah, all right, cheers.
Also, Chinooks are mainly used for like transporting things, aren't they? So they're not particularly lethal.
They're troop carriers. Yeah, typically.
Yeah.
They might have a gun on board, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. They'll often be an armed helicopter escort, won't they? A couple of Apaches, for example, if it's the Americans, you know.
The analogy to that in this situation would be, if you're buying a mince and cheese pie, you might have a couple of sausage rolls on the side.
Yeah.
The Apache of the baked goods world.
Patreon.com/3beansalad.
Thanks to everyone who signed up on our Patreon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Patreon.com/3beansalad is the place to go. We do a monthly bonus episode. We do the occasional film review podcast. You can get ad-free episodes.
Early access to live show tickets.
Indeed.
Yep.
And if you sign up at the Sean Bean tier, you get a shout-out from Mike in the Sean Bean Lounge, where Mike was last night.
You bet I was.
It was the old Learn the Bass Guitar with Sting night, wasn't it?
It was, yes. Thank you, Ben. And here's my report.
It was the old Learn the Bass Guitar with Sting night last night at the Sean Bean Lounge, to which Jim Bradshaw inexplicably invited Flea to give the keynote speech leading to the first ever documented tantric hissy fit. Undeterred, Paula Dunlop, Jimbo Bibby and Henry Clark activated the backup educational Sting hologram and slapped and popped till their thumbs swelled to the size of watermelons, at which point Thomas Ant strained them of fluid, which was run through the soda stream Aidan Doyle had just bought and wouldn't shut up about, and which Devon sold to Dan Pett and Phil Williams at £9 a pint, and which led to both of them briefly and blissfully knowing funk before disintegrating into purple vapour. Elsewhere, Alex Shaw and Chris Tobro broke the land speed record on the bass tandem, while Angelica Jell Carroll hammered the low B on her six string so hard it burst and flailed hard into Sarah McNally's Rickenbacker semi-acoustic, snapping it in two and revealing that the partially hollowed out body was stuffed with contraband, including prohibited Lithuanian gummy bears, frogskin wallets and Harry Harding. Elise Morgan activated the Sting Teach Yourself Reggae Bass avatar, which mistook David Gassaway and Christopher Hardy for Stuart Copeland and Andy Summers, respectively, and attacked them with a 9-foot gong. Luckily, the gong was holographic, but unluckily, we only worked that out after First Aid Officer TJ Jenkins had attended the scene and put both David and Christopher to sleep. Paula and Berger challenged David King to a jazz fusion duel, but upon him choosing acoustic upright as the mode of combat, secretly supplied him with a 4-string Kitty Marie that turned out to be both out of tune and ticklish. Pete Heppel calmed the situation with a soothing walking bass line, and the evening was brought to a close by Rebecca corralling the throng into forming the world's only bass guitar only ensemble, a creation that was widely felt to be a predictable and unmitigated failure. Thanks all.
Okay, that's the show. We're going to finish with a version of our theme tune sent in by one of you. And this one, I'm looking forward to an awful lot. Okay, so this one is from Nick, who previously sent us the Van Halen-style one, if you remember that one.
That was great.
Yes.
He writes, I was listening to the final episode of the last series and had reached the meditative state that usually sets in towards the final 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. The waves of lukewarm banter washed over me and I was at peace. Then, in a flash, my synapses came fizzing back into life. My heartbeat quickened. Like a deep cover sleeper agent, I heard Mike utter my activation phrase. Sweet bass. He said this in the context of Birdland by Weather Report.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about the song Birdland.
Mm. Oh, yes.
My excitement grew as I realised how similar the phrases of your theme were to those of the iconic jazz fusion tune and how perfectly they might come together.
Ooh.
Let's hope this has been done in a spirit of upholding copyright.
And thank you. This is very
exciting. Thank you. And see you next time. Goodbye.
Thanks everyone for listening. Cheerio.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
This is Beanland.
What is Birdland exactly?
We took a trip to Birdland. It's got all different kinds of birds.
Release the flamingos.
They've got flamingos.
5,000 flamingos.
Weather report. Truth beyond the forms.
I'm like a hoof doctor in Birdland.
Sweet face.
Oh, sweet face.
The rear is on the loose.
Hi, I'm the rear.
Can't reason with them.
The parliament rounds. Birdland Park and Gardens in Burton on the Water in Gloucestershire.
Sexually attractive.
That was very good.
That was utterly superb.
You know what that made me think of? That totally superb. Conjured up for me 80s American cop TV show, the credits at the
with
end.
With a light touch.
With a light touch, but also the end credits would often be lighter than the start credits.
Yeah.
So, and it really made me think of Cagney and Lacey.
Yeah.
Oh, and is it Cagney and Lacey? Yeah. Which was two women cops. Yeah. Was that Cagney and Lacey?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was that the one that had that amazing theme tune, which was sax going?
I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah.
It had the most amazing like sax riff in it.
Yeah,
it really gave me the vibes of that.
Henry, go and listen to Birdland now because what he has done is extraordinary.
It's absolutely amazing.
Okay, yeah. I need to listen to Birdland.
Yeah.
As soon as I finish reading The Brothers Karamazov.
Sweet bass indeed, Nick. Sweet bass indeed.
That was very, very good.
Absolutely perfect. Thank you.